Hey, this is Davey T from Field Sports Scotland, and this is my very first podcast for Field Sports Scotland. And on this podcast, over the next couple of weeks, I am hoping to do a few things. I want to talk about the new legislation. I want to talk about reviews of scopes and various other things. I'll bring in guests in regards to talk about pest control and deer management, as well as habitat control and things like that. It's going to be quite interesting over the next couple of weeks, and I think we'll try and do one of these every week, at least 30 minutes a week, talking about whatever's on happening at the time in regards to the shooting sports in Scotland and in the UK. Now, tonight we're going to talk about, I've got a review on at the minute. I am doing a review on the Arkin Optics Zulus 5-20 night vision and day scope. It's coming along quite well. That review will probably be finished by the weekend. I've got a couple of little things I want to do, a couple of niggly bits that I want to go through. And that is the idea of this podcast for you guys who prefer to listen to watching. And I am videoing my podcast on my YouTube, so I'll put that under my podcast section on YouTube as well. The other thing we'll be talking about on YouTube as well as my podcast is how to get hold of some of the merchandise, like t-shirts and stuff like that, so which will be coming onto the market soon. However, let's back to tonight's podcast and what we're going to be talking about. A lot of things we're going to be talking about tonight is down to the new legislation in regards to what's been happening in Scotland over in regards to deer management. Now, some of you may or may not know that on the 1st of November, laws changed in Scotland in regards to closed seasons, as well as the use of night vision. And a very controversial one is the lowering of the bullet size for culling deer, especially big deer. We're not talking about roe deer here, where it's always been around about 50 grain, and as long as it's over 2,400 FPS. We are now talking about red deer being shot with 80 grain bullets. Now, there is a reason for this, and it's a lot to do with the stabilisation of copper heads, copper bullets in rifles. And usually the 100 grain that was required would not stabilise in the likes of 243, so it kind of made the 243 a little bit defunct when that was probably one of the more popular deer stalking rifles in the UK for a long, long time. Now, again, with copper bullets, you tend to have to reduce the weight of your normal size of bullets. So if you have a 270, for instance, running 130 grain, you will now be looking at around about 110 grain bullet to do the same job. So this is one of the reasons why they've reduced that. The other new law that came in is that we are now allowed to shoot deer in Scotland with one of these. This is a digital night vision scope, but it also can be used during daytime. It does recordings, but it is a digitally enhanced image. Now, there is downsides to these. Clarity for one of them can be very poor on certain models. The Digix is not too bad, and the Arkin Optics that I have been dealing with isn't really that bad either. But also, the other thing about it is it does rely on a battery, and it's not a mechanical scope like your traditional normal hunting scope. And for you guys watching on YouTube, I am showing a Zeiss V4, Conquest V4 here. And again, you've got the turrets, and everything's mechanical, and it's clear glass. Now, if you have licenses in Scotland for the likes of shooting deer at night, we can now use night vision and thermal to shoot deer at night on top of our rifles. Before, we could only use thermal to spot, and we were not allowed to use a scope like the Digix or like a Thermion or anything like that. I'm only picking those because those are your more common brands at the minute, or your Hick Micros or whatever. you were not allowed to use that day or night in Scotland, but now you can. If you've got licenses, you are allowed to use that. So that's a big deal. The other new big rule in Scotland, and this is very, very controversial, is the no close season for all male deer. Now, as a controller, as a deer manager and controller, I was allowed to control male deer all year round. And from the 1st of September to the 31st of March, I was also had night licenses to allow me to do that. Now, there is completely no close season on red deer. You still have to apply for the night license for to control them at night. But for male deer, you no night license. No license needed for it now. So you can shoot it all year round. Now, there's a big problem with that. There is a big, big problem in regards to where what I think will happen if that goes across the board. And that would be the fact that I can see in about 5 to 10 years that a lot of places will not have trophy deer. And if there is going to be trophy deer with these estates that are still adhering to the old licensing system or the old closed seasons, we will find that they will charge a heck of a lot more for trophy hunting. And for guys like me who don't trophy hunt, or guys who can't afford up to $3,000 at the moment on an estate for a 12-pointer, just for the chance of shooting a 12-pointer, you could be talking £1,200 to £1,500 for the day, and you don't even get to keep the deer. Now, in the future, I could see that being double. I could see £2,500 to £3,000 for a trophy-sized deer will be commonplace when it comes to the estates. So just bear this in mind. This is a big, big deal when it comes to that. It also could mean that you will not actually see trophies. You will, if everybody's shooting deer, shooting male deer out of the normal parameters where it used to be from the 1st of July to the 21st of October, the deer are not going to get that. The male deer are not going to get that break that they normally have, you know, between October and July. So they'll have to come all the way through the rut. They'll probably come find a period where they'll always be hungry and trying to feed through the winter time. And the recuperation in the springtime, and hardhorn antlers don't usually come until late August anyway. Mid to late August. I've seen deer still in velvet even in late September. So it's going to be very, very difficult. You know, it's going to be very, very difficult for these deer to produce any kind of size, because I reckon a lot of smaller deer will be taken. A lot of unmature stags will be taken. And yes, for a management point of view and for a deer numbers point of view, that's completely fine. That is 100% fine. But if for recreational stalking and if you are a trophy hunter, that isn't going to happen anymore. And that's a big deal. The other thing, there's other consultations going with Nature Scot right now in regards to deer management nature restoration orders, which are DMNROs is a big deal. Now, this proposal is to actually increase the powers of Nature Scot in Scotland in regards to deer management, deer number control when it comes to nature restoration throughout. Now, some of the things are not bad. I'm not against most of what is being proposed. However, it is going to cause problems for a lot of people. But the difference is I'm in tree protection. I have to work on these numbers, and I also have to work on these things in regards to... Sorry, I'm being distracted at the minute. I have to control numbers. I have to reduce numbers. And reducing numbers is a big deal, because for tree protection, that can be a difference between whether the deer are doing a lot of damage and not in the numbers will cause more damage. Sorry, got distracted. Had people looking in the window trying to get my attention. It's not always easy. I try to do these sort of things, especially when you've got kids and family and all that about. But yeah, so DMNROs. Now, let me kind of outline the rationale. This is what it's got on the website, and I'll read it out. The Scottish Government believes that additional powers is proportionate and necessary to allow intervention where required to enhance the natural environment and enable the adaptation of land management to achieve more biodiverse and climate-resilient Scotland. So a more climate-resilient Scotland. Now, I'm just looking through it here. And this is what the Scottish Government proposals. We are proposing a new Deer Management Nature Restoration Order, DMNRO, which will facilitate deer management for the purposes of nature restoration. It would also be separate. I'm just going to summarise what I'm reading here. It'd be separate to Section 6 in regards to control areas. Section 6A of the Deer Management Plans, Section 7 of Control Agreements, Section 8 in Control Schemes, and Section 10 with Emergency Measures to Prevent Damage by Deer, 1996 Act. So it's to work alongside the 1996 Act. Here it says, we envisage that there may be a role for these existing intervention powers as part of the DMNR process. However, we will consider the way in which the new DMNRO interacts with the existing intervention powers and will give consideration to whether existing powers may benefit from modification to complement the creation of a Deer Management Restoration Order, Nature Restoration Order. While many of the actions could be required under DMNRO, the associated enforcement powers are similar to those under Section 7, which deals with the voluntary deer management agreements, and Section 8, which provides Nature Scot with the powers to compel landowners to undertake management where the voluntary arrangements have failed. Now, this is the big thing about a DMNRO, and this is where it's really important to understand. With the new Deer Management Nature Restoration Order, under those sections, it will give Nature Scot the power to enforce a landowner to make minimum cull targets. Before it was all voluntary, now it's not, and now they're looking at it not to be. You had to make these minimum cull targets that they set, not that you set, but that they set in regards to the numbers of deer or the size of land that you have in regards to nature restoration. Now, before, these enforcements were only really in place when you asked for grants and stuff like that to do kind of tree protection and things like that. Now it is starting to get a little bit kind of more of enforced. And now we've already seen land ownership being put in this situation before with a couple of estates that were forced to cull deer, and they have been fined because they hadn't culled as many deer as what the government has asked them to. Now we've seen this before, and I can see more of it again, because this is where the new closed season comes in, the new not closed season for male deer comes in. Now, that might be one thing that estates might still want to adhere to the old seasons and the old closed seasons, but are they going to make the minimum number required for culling? I don't know. Now, this is not me. I'm not for or against. It doesn't affect me as such, because most of my job is to cull deer for protection. But drop comments down. I need to know what your thoughts are. I want to hear, even if you want to send me video clips or whatever, to david@fieldsportscotland.com, or come to Scotland to stalk, are not from Scotland. quite a large amount are actually from below the border and elsewhere. So just think about it. And if it's going to happen in Scotland, Natural England has already put an order out to say that they think that there is a overpopulation of deer in England. They've already just admitted to it. It's not going to be far behind Scotland on bringing out similar DMNRO situation in England, Northern Ireland, and Wales. So it is worth thinking about, especially when everybody is coming to the point where we are starting to talk about large deer numbers and large culling and nature restoration. It's getting more and more prevalent as the year goes on, as the years go on, but not just that, as the weeks and months go on, because it is changing. So DMNROs. So let's see what they've got to say. Purpose of the new DMNRO. The proposed purpose of the DMNRO would be to enable all necessary deer management actions to secure restoration of nature across a specified area of land, recovering one or more land holdings to the prescribed by Nature Scot under a single legally enforceable direction. Nature restoration in this context would encompass objectives including tree planting, encouraging natural regeneration, peatland restoration, water management, and natural capital enhancement. Now, a lot of you probably haven't heard about this natural capital. Now, I'll touch a wee bit on it in a little bit, but I can't really go too much into it because it is very, very new and a lot of people are struggling to working out how it is. But basically, really, natural capital is how do you turn carbon capture credits and biodiversity credits into real money and actually make it a financial benefit. The action, following back on, the actions could include, for example, deer culling, deer fencing, detailed habitat assessment, deer counting and cull planning. Actions prescribed under the DMNRO would qualify for financial or other support. So there is a possibility that if you are asked and enforced to do certain things, they will pay for it. So they will give you a grant towards it, which is great. But this is where the problem came in before. People who have used these grants before have struggled, had found out that it's been a bit problematic. So just let's talk about that for a second. You're willing, what they're asking you about this consultation is to allow for these DMNROs to come into place so that they can put extra enforcement in and have more powers, but under the guise that you will get grants to help you out to make these goals. It doesn't really say much about what the enforcement would be if you refused to do these minimum cull orders or refused to put fencing up in certain places, or if you've got an idea on what else is going on with your own ground and you don't want to have any dealings with this this side of things. So it doesn't tell you what the enforcements would be. Actions that might be required under a DMNRO. A DMNRO would apply to a defined land area within which there might be a range of deer management actions required to achieve a stated objectives of the DMNRO. Now, who decides on that specific area? That's another question there. These actions would include, for example, reductions in deer numbers. This could be a target density or could be specified culls over a period of time and would be in order to achieve a target density. Now, I'm going to talk about the target densities. For woodland restoration, they are asking for no more than 2 to 3 deer per kilometre square. Now, if you've got a 1,200 acre estate, that is talking about 15 deer, male or female, 15 deer on your 1,200 acre estate. So bear that in mind. That's what the current environmental targets are for woodland regeneration management in regards to deer density figures that they require for woodland restoration. Now, that is 2 to 3 deer per kilometre square. Now, that's a... Think about that. That's... It's a lot. It's very low. It's very, very low. The other actions it would include would be fencing. This could include fencing to be put in place by landholdings with high deer numbers to prevent those deer damage and restoration projects elsewhere within the DMNRO area. Now, yeah, you're going to find some green lairds will put fences all the way around there, but deer fences have got their own problems. I know that the biggest problem with deer fencing is once the deer are in, they can't get back out. They don't tend to want to come back out. And you've got to think of that one. And finally, specified additional work to support deer management, including habitat assessments, more detailed cull plans, and cull reporting. Now, this DMNRO is heavily on culling. Now, I mentioned this in an article on my website a few years ago, how I felt that the deer management in Scotland is going to go, and it's kind of going this way. And a lot of people told me I was talking rubbish at the time. I am kind of feeling it is going this way, which is a big, big deal. I really hate saying I told you so, but this is what's happening. The proposed actions under the DMNRO would be subject to consultation by Nature Scot with interested parties. Nature Scot would be required to take into consideration economic, social and environmental arguments put forward by consultees, and to balance these against the overall objectives of the DMNRO before determining whether to proceed with the proposed actions. So, here's the part of the non-compliance. Failure to complete a required action under a DMNRO could lead to direct intervention by Nature Scot or those they authorise to complete specified tasks with recourse to cost recovery from landowners. Meaning that if they have to get somebody in to cull your deer, the landowner will have to pay for it. They will get fined and they will have to pay for it. Non-compliance with an action required under a DMNRO would be an offence in similar way as to a refusal or willful failure to comply with any requirement of a control scheme is an offence under Section 13 of the 1996 Act. So that is very vague, but it pretty much tells you that if you don't do what they tell you to do or recommend, you're going to get fined for it. Anyway, it goes on about other links and stuff like that. But it is a big deal if you think about these DMNROs. And it's funny they're kind of coinciding with the non-closed season for male deer. It's funny how it's working out with that. And I can see there's going to be other problems in regards to changing the seasons for female deer, as many of land managers over the last while have actually seen that some of the hinds are having calves a little later or a little earlier, the rut's not happening until late or not at all, and things like that. So there is changes in deer behavior because of climate, but things like that we need to kind of think about in the future as well. I can see there be changes in also the female seasons, which is quite hard to actually take, because if you've ever had to graalach a deer and there's a almost a fully grown calf in there, it's never fun. It's not fun for anybody. I don't know a controller, I don't know a deer manager, and I don't know a recreational deer stalker who has ever enjoyed having to graalach a fully pregnant deer. I certainly don't, and that's why I have my cut-off period where I completely cut off and I don't shoot hinds and just carry on shooting the male deer. Anyway, so there's a lot of changes in deer management in Scotland, and this is what the idea for this podcast is so that we can talk about this freely and talk about it as land managers, as as stalkers, as recreational stalkers, because a lot of the recreational guys tend to get left out of the loop of these things, and it's not because they don't want to be in the loop. It's mainly because they just don't get given this information freely until all this legislation is passed and it's all finished. I don't know where we go from here. And maybe this is the thing, is maybe we need to have a wider conversation about how we approach deer management in Scotland in the future properly. Instead of these, we've had the deer management action groups and stuff like that, and there doesn't seem to be any consensus between the difference between sporting and land management and habitat restoration and nature recovery. There's no middle ground. And I know this is trying to give a middle ground, but there is no middle ground, and it's quite sad, really. It really is quite sad. We need to find middle grounds for the future of, basically, the future of sport, future of nature recovery, the future of actually doing things right. Because one thing we're not doing right now, whether it's nature recovery or whether it's sporting, we're not doing anything right at the minute. And we need to find a middle ground to do things right. And that's one thing that I personally have a lot of heart in. Anyway, I'm going to leave you to it. We are around about 26, 27 minutes into this podcast. And I did say that I was only going to keep your time for around about half an hour. But I really want your comments. I really want to know everything that you thought about what I've said. I want to know about your feelings about deer management, nature restoration orders, DMNROs. It's really hard to say that. I'd rather say deer management, nature restoration order than DMNRO. I want to know about your thoughts on the closed season change, the night vision and scope change idea. Might be good, might be bad. I've got a lot of apprehensions about certain things. But I really do think we really need to have a wider discussion in regards to deer management in Scotland. And that is a big deal. Now, thank you for listening to my podcast. Thank you for watching my YouTube channels. We're going to be doing a lot more stuff in the future. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we are going to bring a lot more reviews for you. Thank you again. Subscribe, and I'll catch you next week.